That. A time to be born? Can't argue with that. A time to die? Can't argue with that. A time to plant? A time to uproot? A time to kill? A time to heal? A time to tear down? A time to build up? A time to weep and a time to laugh? A time to mourn and a time to dance? A time to scatter stones? A time to gather them? A time to embrace? A time to refrain from embracing? A time to search? A time to give up? A time to keep? A time to throw away? A time to tear down? And a time to mend? Time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? Good question. I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in His time. He's also set eternity in the human heart. That's why we're here. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that people will fear Him. I want you to think rivers come. Rivers come to all of us. You're on a journey. The river comes. It may be good, it may be bad. It comes just when you're not expecting it, your health goes. When you're not expecting it, you have financial problems. If you're not expecting it, relationships don't go the way you go. Rivers come. Rivers, and they need to be crossed. They need to be crossed.
And they come while you're perhaps fully obeying and trusting God, still they come. When we've been doing a canoe trip for the conference, it's a Northwoods canoe trip. We've moved from Canada down to Minnesota. Now we're in lower Wisconsin.
It gets easier
and softer as we get older.
I don't understand why, but it happens.
But one of our trips, it's been several years back now, but we had probably 11 canoes and maybe 22 people. And we're coming out of, sort of placid water and paddling. And we had some first-time canoeists, and I think it was our first day. And so we're paddling, and everything is great. The sun is shining, and the water is calm. Turn the corner, and all of a sudden, and in the north, sometimes you don't even know where the weather comes from, except from God. Wind and waves. If you're in a big ship, yacht, cruise ship, it's not going to affect you too much when you have 3-foot waves. But when you're in a canoe, 3-foot waves are a crisis. And we put our paddles in and dug in for all we're worth. I honestly could not even turn around to see if all of the other canoes were behind us. It was just dig in, try to move forward, try not to tip over or get, if the water comes in, the canoe, you could sink or overturn. So it was just kind of like keep paddling and praying. I prayed that we would make it. We were headed for this Round Bear Island, and two of our paddlers had gone on ahead to reserve the island, and they were wearing like ponchos for the rain that had just suddenly come. And they were actually just completely horizontal. The ponchos, not the people. If the people had been lighter, they would have been horizontal.
That's right.
And later that afternoon, it was all calm. But, we were out there doing what we should do as we should do it in the storm.
And that's life.
That's the way life is. I was going to read.
Go ahead.
The disciples, they had been with Jesus and he had taught the multitudes. Then he went alone to pray. And then the disciples, now it's nighttime. They're out the middle of the lake, and he's alone on the land. Jesus
is. I don't mind the gestures, but you're getting close to hitting me.
I know. I've learned these things from you. I'm
That's
preaching.
Right. That's right.
It's my time to speak, a time for everything.
Right.
We haven't done this a lot together in the years of our ministry.
If it goes bad, I'm blaming you.
If it goes bad, blame him. If it goes well, give him credit. So when evening came, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and they were all terrified. And these are strong fishermen. But immediately he spoke to them and he said, what he speaks to us when we're in our storm. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down.
So rivers come to us in many ways, and change is one of the ways rivers come to us. And change is difficult for a lot of people, especially, you'll testify this, especially for a person like me. It likes routine, likes to do things, have it organized, everything. Change can throw you off. I like the story. It's a good story. It's one of my favorites. About a husband and wife who had a little problem. The husband wouldn't put the cap back on the toothpaste. He kept forgetting to do it. And she'd remind him all the time, put that cap back on the toothpaste. And he just forget. And it was kind of a little thing in a marriage. And finally, one day, he thought to himself as he got done brushing his teeth, I'm going to put the cap back on. So he put the cap back on, and his wife said to him later that day, what happened? Have you brushed your teeth yet? Now, here's the thing. People change. Life changes. I mean, when I think about the canoe trips, you'll testify this, Phyllis. We used to portage. We used to do a lot of things that were a lot tougher. And now, for some reason, we don't do them, and I think it's because we're getting older. I think that might be it. Age changes you, too. Life situations change you. The rivers come in all kinds of ways. Even being a Christian, there's change. You don't stay the same. You don't stay the same in following God because your life changes. You change.
We were driving up to Chicago this weekend to visit our son and some family, and then to have our, I know it's late in February, but we had our Christmas with my family.
They're a little slow.
So.
Or so, early, whatever you want to look at.
Now is the time to share my joke.
Go ahead.
And then I'll share the water.
One joke she has.
Because sometimes we are very slow to learn, either in life or God's lessons spiritually. We've been there, we can testify to this.
We're still learning.
We're still learning. But as we change, we're getting to trust God more, but more of that later. This is just to show you that sometimes we're like this illustration. A man came out of his house and he was walking and he saw a snail in the way. So he took the snail and he tossed it in the bushes. 2 years later, it's a knock on his door. The man goes to open it. It's the snail. He said, hey, what was that all about?
That's your best joke, too, Phyllis.
Ron remembers stories and jokes and illustrations.
Now,
I do not.
This moves us to the second point, right? Rivers come. They need to be crossed. They're difficult. It's a struggle. I don't like change. It's a struggle. I struggle every day with certain things. If my routine gets thrown off, I got to think about it, work it through. You know, I got plans for the day, but it's a struggle. But this brings me to the point that rivers not only need to be crossed, but in the midst of all this, we learn that life can't really be controlled by us. It's in God's hands.
So now I'm going to go back to my
story. You can get it. But it's we want you to think that today, that when the changes happen, when the rivers come, trust God. Trust God.
So on our way north, we go on 57 all the way up the lake shore to where our kids live. And so we're south of Kankakee. And we pass this way countless times on our many trips north to see family. There's some homes on the east side of Highway Interstate 57. They're newer. It's not a crowded subdivision. They're nicer homes, not even all alike. Beautiful homes that must be close to the river, the Kankakee River. And this time we go by, and I'm like, oh my, Ron, look over there. These beautiful homes now have water.
At the second story.
Up to the second story.
It's flooding.
Every
up there.
Single one of them that are not terribly old, but they're just flooded. Unpredictable. They didn't know they were coming, but a flood.
So Danny, or Zandra, are you running the thing? Flip all the way to the last section of slides. I want you to see this scripture. You know the one. Everything's a time. I want to show them something. We didn't do this first. You got it? Yeah.
Yes, it is. Click it up there. Look, this is Paul. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. No, keep going. That's not it. Keep going. Keep going. All the way down to the last set. Keep going. Keep going. Are you getting bored? Are you bored, Phyllis?
I'm just wondering what's coming.
Here it is. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh. This is Paul. A message of Satan to torment me. Some people think he was going blind. Some people think Paul was going blind. He signs some of his letters and says, see, this is my signature. It's big. Keep going. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. He didn't want it. Whatever was troubling him, he didn't want it. Look at this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For I know when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now, that's great. Now, I think, Phyllis, if I got this right, that day that we were canoeing, was that the same day Grass was with us, Bob Grass? Or was that a different day?
He probably was.
Because there was a time we were canoeing with Bob Grass. He was in this church, and he 80 years old, he's canoeing with us. I don't know how Bob did it, but he canoed, and it's raining. Remember that? It's raining hot. Remember what he said?
He said, a liquid sunshine. He was out there on the boat, and everything that was a potential disaster, he turned it with, he shined it up with something good, something
positive.
So we're saying today
that sometimes these changes, sometimes these hardships in life, Paul found this out, that in his weakness he could find God's grace and make it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. We're not saying that. But we are saying God can take it and make it good. I had an experience in Chicago because my niece was going to meet us there with her family and at my son's home. And my niece sells a product. And it's one of these products that you can get into and make money, and then she gets money if you make money and all that stuff. And I said to my son, I hope she doesn't bring up the product. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want in on it. So we kind of, in the game plan, we would tell her we don't want it. And we get up there, and it wasn't that at all, because she wanted to tell us some things she's going through that's tough, some hard times in her life. And I felt kind of, and I wonder how much of life I miss God's signal, because I think I know what's really going on, and I don't know what's going on. Life is in God's control, not yours. And sometimes you suffer, and you wonder what's going on. How come this happened? What's going on? You may not ever know the total picture. Sometimes you do know, well, this works out.
So our niece, who is our son's age, shared about things from her youth that she had never shared with us before, that were really, really difficult. And then she said, in the more recent history, how she and her husband were struggling in their marriage.
People wouldn't know about that, Phyllis, but it does happen to some people.
Struggles.
They didn't laugh, Phyllis.
They didn't laugh.
Okay, good. That may be worse, but I don't know.
Here's what Joyce Meyer says. The single people are sad and the married people are mad. Because, you know, you want this before you got it, and then you get it, and then you're like, ugh. So my niece.
Hey, wait a minute.
My niece got there,
yeah.
And she said that we just hated each other. She said, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I know that for ourselves and for people in knee-deep in a flood, they feel like they're just stuck and they cannot move. But God can. So she said we did one thing. We agreed on one thing, that we would pray together. That's the only thing they could probably do on neutral ground. So they prayed together. And she said everything is going so well now. They have three children. And she is so grateful to God. Ron and I also had a terrible flood in our life. We had a literal flood in 1993, not nearly as bad as the flood that overtook us in relationship,
right.
Our marriage. It was basically so broken and gone that I didn't see any way. I had forgotten Even though I was working hard for God, I wasn't working hard to know him, which is a huge difference. So I told him our marriage is in the ashes. It's burned down. It's done.
I don't think you said it that nice.
I didn't. I did not. We are human, and we said a lot of regrettable things.
Or not. Who knows?
But I had forgotten that God said he lifts the needy from the ash heap, that he is redeemer, restorer, that he's a miracle worker. And
so we say now, which we both believe, that you got to go through the tough times to get the good times.
We would not.
So we would not be as happy in retirement because we do a lot together now and enjoy being together, and it's because you go through the rough times. And I'm not saying you need to go through them or you want to search them out, but I am saying there's some benefit of going through some struggles. You get stronger. You learn a lot.
And I think
you look
that,
at things differently.
I think that God allows them.
Yeah.
God, I'm not saying he always orchestrates them, but I know that in his loving kindness and in his mercy, I think he says, this is the time that you need to get to know who I am.
Right.
And he says in his word, then I'll let you talk.
No, it's okay. Go for it.
Psalm 29:10, the Lord, and I love this, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sat as king over the deluge. The Lord still sits as king forever. Forever. I mean, we can't even bend our mind around forever, but he's going to be there. He was, he is, and he still will be. The Lord will give, and I love this, he will give unyielding and impenetrable. We need to sit and ponder that. Unyielding and impenetrable strength to his people. Nothing else will be able to get in there and disturb that. If it's unyielding and impenetrable strength to his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
So we're saying today, the rivers come. Don't be scared. They happen to everybody. We're saying today, if you get caught up in them, you aren't going to go under. It's going to be tough. But God's going to take it through because God's in control of life. And whatever happens, you look back on and say, it's okay. It's okay. There's a guy that we walked at the mall during the winter a little more, and my older son says that the image he can't get out of his head, that we're walking at the mall now with the old people. But
he just shakes his head and says, you too.
There's a guy that comes there that I don't even know him, and he told me his age. He's, I don't know, close to 90. And he's kind of shuffling. And I got to tell you, I admire the guy. I admire him. I admire people who've taken some hits, some licks, some hard times, and keep on shuffling through life. I think they realize, I can just keep going because God's with me. You had that.
Yeah, I know. I think this.
Yeah.
Yes, and the reason he can shuffle on and the reason we can push through is because God says this also in his word in Isaiah 43:2, I have called you by name. Whoever we are, he knows our name. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you, not if you, or possibly you might, but when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And you, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned or scorched, nor will the flame kindle upon you. You won't even have one tiny scorch because God is there with us.
I was thought you were going to talk about the accordion. Through my mind when you mentioned that was polka music. I don't know why. You mentioned accordion. I thought polka music.
I have two things.
Go ahead.
I'd rather, what we have learned, I think, in all of our struggles and learning to trust God and to wait on him in any circumstance and his timing, is that we would rather be on a stormy body of water with him than to be on a calm sea without him.
Right.
And this girl, when I was in youth group, Every Friday night we had an activity. Every Sunday night we had youth before the evening service. Because I went to a church where we had Wednesday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night.
Are you bragging?
So she played. Well, I'm just saying we were in church a lot, but that was a God. That was a God thing.
Okay,
that was a
going,
God
keep.
Thing. So she played her accordion one night, and I struggled a bit with issues with my father, and it spoke to me then, and it still speaks to me now. And this is what she's saying. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do.
So I think we're just here today to say, if you came in, you feel like life's drowning you, don't give up. Don't give up. There's always hope. There's always hope that's found in God. And just go from here today victorious. Even in the midst of some pretty bad stuff, victorious, because God's with you. And God's going to bring you through. Now, we tell our story like it happened overnight, but it took a few years to get the wrinkles out like we need to be gotten out. Things don't work as fast as we think.
It was then that I really said, I'm not listening to a minister anymore.
Do you now? Do you now?
We'll get to that. But you know, when your life is shipwrecked, you need God to get steady feet again. So I said, I don't want to hear from you or any minister. I want to find out for myself. So I decided to go to the Word, actually in anger and in maybe malice. I wanted to find a way out of the marriage. Yeah. And I thought, I'm going to read every word of this until I find basically a loophole. So I guess I'm sort of
still
like
looking?
A lawyer.
Keep going.
So I thought that this would be my time to really.
So,
what I found was I found myself falling in love with God, fearing Him. I am terrified to walk outside the will of God, I can tell you that. So, yes, right. I do listen now to servants.
Okay.
And I found everything I needed to know. And I guess that's really when we got a walk apart together that was genuine.
Right. I'm just telling people not to be discouraged today.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Just relax.
I am too. We just have different styles.
I didn't know I had style. Now, I love all of you. You're great people. You really are. And I know some of you do suffer. And I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm not. But just sit tight. Don't get too wrapped up in it. It's going to be okay. Not because it's just going to be okay, but because God's in control of all of it. So we wish that for everybody, don't we, Phyllis, that they would just follow God.
We, in fact, pray that that will be so.
Right.
That you will find God to be more than enough. Because some people say, well, what if this happens? What if this? And we say, well, what if God is faithful?
Right.
Because He is.
So, after this rousing sermon, or whatever we did, I don't know what we're doing. And do you know what you were doing? We're supposed to take the offering. And you know, I want you to think about the offering this way. It's a little bit different. I mean, some people think of giving money to the church. But I want you to think about all your resources that you have at your disposal. I mean, literally, in retirement, I pray every day I'll run into somebody I can really help or you know, help them through some times. And it seems like it works out pretty good for me. And I think you need to think what you're going to do with all your resources. But when you give to the church, you aren't giving to the Methodist church here in town. And you're not giving because the minister's good or the sermon was good or that the music was good. You're giving to God. You're giving to God. And you pray that He will use what you give to help others. Let me tell you, in this church, I just want to tell you one story, that's all. It's that Phyllis and I, the canoe trip, we ran into two kids in town who They live in
I don't think they've ever been anywhere
outside of Mattoon. And we ran into them in a strange way. A cold day, I picked them up because they were walking. We said, you know, you want to go canoeing. And Phyllis told some people, and one person said, I'll pay for their way to go canoeing from this church. Now, can you imagine? Two kids, don't have anything. They live in Section 8 housing. You're going to be able to go canoeing. And you know, I said, well, we'll help them get some clothes and other things they need to go. That's what your money does when you give to the church. You will not believe what the United Methodist Church does at home in help for relief. You will not believe the government says about our Commission on Relief that we have the best. They are willing to turn over cleanup to the United Methodist Commission on Relief. And we've been in those areas. Your money supports that, but it supports God's work. You give to God. But you don't have to give anything. You may want to just give your time to some people. You may want to just give yourself. But let's take the offering today with thankful hearts for all that God has given us.